Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
God, that means that I rely on God, that I trust God, that I have some kind of relationship with God that allows me to expect something out of Him. And that's the kind of faith that we're talking about whenever we say that the 12 apostles embodied faith in Christ. They had faith in Christ. They had a certain relationship with Him which allowed them to rely upon Him. And this is the kind of faith that we are called to have as Christians, as the kind of faith that we see in this Roman centurion in today's gospel. Jesus comes down off of the mountain. He's been teaching His disciples. And as He comes down from the mountain, first He's approached by a leper. And the leper comes forward with faith and he says, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." This is the beginning of chapter 8. We didn't read it just now. The beginning of chapter 8 from St. Matthew's Gospel. The leper comes to Him and he says, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." That's a tremendous degree of faith. Because if you think about it, he didn't ask the Lord to put His hands on him. He didn't ask the Lord to pray to His Father. He acknowledged in some way that Jesus Christ has authority, power, on His own to heal him. And that He didn't even need to make sort of physical contact with the leper. He says, "If You will, if it is Your will, then You can make me clean." And Jesus responds by actually reaching out and touching him and saying, "I will be clean." And he's cleansed. And after that, he comes into the city of Capernaum and this centurion comes to him. And the centurion embodies tremendous faith. Because if you look at what happens here, he comes with, you know, the leper came and says, "If You will, You can make me clean." The centurion has even greater faith than that. Because he simply comes and he says, "Lord, my servant is at home sick with the palsy and grievously tormented." He doesn't even say, "Can You please come and heal him?" He says nothing about that. Immediately, the Lord says, "I will come and heal him." You see, in all other cases, whenever someone intercedes for someone else, like for example, the four men who carried their friend on the bed, and they climbed up on the roof and broke the roof open and they lowered it down. They had faith in Christ. They had faith that he could heal their friend. But they had this connection in their mind, "Well, we need to take our friend and put him in front of Jesus. He needs to be right in front of him. He needs to be able to see him and to have contact with him in order for him to be healed." But the faith of the centurion surpasses those men. Because he doesn't think that. And he doesn't think that because he understands authority. So he simply comes and he describes the situation to the Lord. "Lord, my servant lies at home, sick with the palsy, and he's grievously tormented." And Jesus immediately springs forward and says, "I will come and heal him." No one said anything about, "Can you come and heal him?" Jesus responds to the man in order to show to us his faith. "I will come and heal him." And the centurion, at this point, answers. And he reveals the source of his faith, I would say, is the acknowledgement of his own unworthiness. The centurion answers, once the Lord offers to come to his house, and he says, "Lord, I am not worthy that You should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." In other words, it is not necessary. Not only am I unworthy, it's not even necessary for You to walk all the way to my house and to enter in there. Standing where You are, on the other side of town, if You will say the word, then my servant will be healed. And he gives the reason for why he understands this. He says, "I am a man under authority." He's a centurion. He's got superior officers. He understands that if they tell him that he must do something, then he must do it. And it wasn't like, you know, nowadays if somebody disobeys a superior officer, they get court-martialed or something. In fact, then you've got your head cut off. If you disobeyed in the Roman army, that's why discipline was so tremendous in the Roman army, because you didn't disobey. But he understands, I have superior officers. And I know that if they tell me to do something, I must do it. And more than that, I have people under me. He's a centurion. He's a commander of 100 soldiers. I have men under me. And if I say to one, go, he has to go. And if I say to another, come, he has to come. And if I say to my servant, do this, then he has to do it. What is he confessing about his faith in Jesus Christ? That his understanding of who Jesus Christ is that he has this kind of authority, the same kind of authority that a centurion has over his soldiers. Jesus Christ has this authority over sickness and death. Death. If he says to it, go, then it will go. If he says to it, come, it will come. The same with sickness. And when Jesus hears this, he marvels. He wonders. He's amazed at the faith of the man. And he says to those who are around, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in the nation of Israel. Even among those to whom the promises were given, even among those who were God's chosen, even among those who were given the law, among those whose ancestors had beheld the great vision of God on Mount Sinai, who were led out of Egypt, even among those, such faith has not been found. And then he says, he prophesies the coming of the Gentiles, and he says, many shall come from the east and the west, and will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, that is, those who were given all the promises and yet refused to respond, will be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he behaves according to the request of the centurion. He says, go, and as you have believed, so be it done. And from the distance between Jesus and the centurion's house, the servant was healed in the same instant. You see, this centurion exemplifies this tremendous faith that we are called to have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, not just faith that Jesus is the Son of God, but faith in Jesus, the Son of God. And if we find that we don't have that faith, at least not all the time, then we have to strive for it. We have to, first of all, ask God for it. But there's actually a very easy way that we can develop, cultivate this faith in ourselves. I had a spiritual father when I was in seminary, and he would tell me about things like this. Like, for example, humility. You know, young, arrogant, prideful seminary students go and they say, well, I'm not humble. Which is true, but also kind of prideful even to say that I should be humble at this point. But his response was always, well, pretend like you're humble. If you're not humble, then act like it at least. And if you act like it, eventually you will actually become humble. And the same is true with this faith. If we don't have this kind of faith, then let's act like we have this kind of faith. And in pretending that we have this kind of faith, we will acquire it. And how do we pretend? There's a very easy thing that we can do. Before we do anything, pray. That's it. That's the easiest thing that we can do to acquire this kind of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we do anything, pray. This is why the church says, get up in the morning and say these morning prayers. Because it's the first thing we do. Every day. The first thing we do is we call upon God. The first thing we do is we dedicate ourselves to God. And we ask God for help throughout the day. There's a short little prayer that we can pray. Bless, O Lord. Bless, O Lord. Whatever I'm about to do, bless it, O Lord. What does that mean? It means that I understand. I place myself in a subservient position. I understand myself to be in obedience to Jesus Christ. And to be in need of His grace. And to be in need of His help. And I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to ask for it. And if we can begin do this on a daily basis, then we will come to the point where we realize, that we need the Lord for everything. And when we realize that, then our faith becomes faith in Jesus Christ. Not just faith that He exists, but faith in Him, trust in Him, reliance upon Him. And then we live life not just thinking about God every once in a while, like when I pray in the morning and when I pray in the evening, and then forgetting about Him the rest of the time. But then we begin to live life hand in hand with Christ, hand in hand with His Father, to walk through life with the constant remembrance of God, not the remembrance that God exists, but the remembrance that God is here now, present among us. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship of the ages of ages. Amen.